You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
I mentioned it earlier, in a conversation we heard that has been reported now on what Dabo Swinney has had to say. We'll talk to the author of that article in just a minute. But just to refresh your memory, this is what Dabo has said. He said, I mean, we've won three national championships in 127 years. The problem is we've won two in seven, so sometimes that creates a loss of perspective. And I think when you lose perspective, you lose your joy.
Aww.
That's what makes Clemson unique and special. This place has always had a lot of fun. Gene Sapochnik writing about that in Charleston while dodging the Chinese balloon. Gene, welcome back to our show. We saw you a couple of months ago, it seems now, in Columbia. How are you? And tell us more about the whining and sniveling Dabo Swinney. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me on, Paul. And don't try to act like you do not know that Dabo Swinney has an MBA from the University of Alabama.
Oh.
And, you know, he's pretty smart and he's pretty good at stirring up business. And not many other coaches have an MBA from Alabama or anywhere else. But, yeah, Paul, Dabo didn't just respond to a question with that rant that you just referenced at a signing day presser. He brought it up earlier in the day, Paul, when he was talking to a meeting of boosters, you know, saying the thing about the two national championships of their three in the last 7 years. But also he said, we win 10 games and now y'all want to fire me, which is probably a slight exaggeration. But the real paradox, Paul, and I don't know, maybe it's not a paradox, maybe it's just like an obvious thing, but Dabo himself is quite unsatisfied with an 11-3 season because it included that dreadful loss at Notre Dame, a home loss to South Carolina, and a very sloppy Orange Bowl against the Vols. And Clemson was favored in all those games. So what does he do? He goes out, he fires his buddy Brandon Streeter and brings in the great Garrett Riley, showing that he himself, again, was quite unsatisfied with the season. And yeah, NIL, you know, lobbying is always part of this whenever a coach opens his mouth these days.
So, Gene, I mean, I'm appreciative of knowing and being reminded that he has an MBA in business from Alabama. He doesn't have a degree in psychology, though, so what's the point of all this?
I don't know. I think he's going through some stuff himself. I mean, he knows Florida State's making gains in the ACC. South Carolina with Shane Beamer clearly is closing the gap here in the state. Notre Dame with Sam Hartman, that's a huge boost at quarterback for the Irish. They're on the schedule again for Clemson coming up. And so Dabo, in his own Dabo way, I think is trying to re-rally his quote-unquote all-in campaign for the public. And again, I think he's always got an eye on NIL support and just trying to keep the fan base jacked up, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, but you live there. I'm just a visitor on occasion. But how do you get them fired up when the season ended terribly? Your last they did have a championship game in there. I can't even remember who they played. Were they in the championship game this year? I can't remember. Oh, they played North Carolina.
Yeah, they managed to beat the dreaded North Carolina Tar Heels in Charlotte. They went into Charlotte and beat a team from that state, Paul.
It was such a bad loss, it got Mack Brown an extension. But the point being, you lose to your rival, and then you lose your bowl game. And this is it not the time to keep your mouth shut as opposed to opening it and inserting foot?
He is right about a few things. If fans aren't happy with the 8-year body of work, I think they have a problem. And Ross Taylor over at Clemson has a pretty cool stat Paul, I know you're going to love this. Clemson's won 10 or more games 12 years in a row. Alabama's done it 15 years in a row. The next active streak is two, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, and a few other schools. And, yeah, the COVID 2020 year factors in there, but still. I think Clemson has a pretty good team coming back for 2023, and I think Dabo Swinney knows it, but that he cannot have these disasters like happened in South Bend, happened against South Carolina. I know that was a one-point loss, but Clemson just played horribly in that game. But, hey, they had three losses, Paul, with an offensive coordinator that, you know, was evidently mediocre. He's fired, and a quarterback situation that was, you know, at best struggling. So I think with Cade Klubnik and Garrett Riley, they feel pretty good about this coming season.
Yeah, but I understand all that, Gene. But we talked to a lot of Alabama fans who literally wanted the two coordinators run off. After coming in second, after in the last 3 years, coming in first, second, and fifth. So we get it. But when you have to remind people what you've done lately, what does that say about you as the head coach? And really, the reality is that Clemson is no longer in the conversation nationally. They have slipped. You know that, Gene. You're a pretty smart guy.
Yeah, you're right about that. And they're surrounded by, geographically surrounded by Tennessee, obviously Georgia. Underline the obvious part there, and South Carolina, and they lost to all three of those schools the last time they played each one of them. So what's you're saying, like, what's his game here? I think it's to rally the troops for a season that he thinks is huge, because he can write off 10-3 and DJ Uiagalelei, and the offensive coordinator wasn't the right pick. But, yeah, they can't have another three-loss season, probably can't have another two-loss season coming in 2023, especially considering they've got Notre Dame and Florida State at home.
And it seems to me that the real concern, not only falling off the national stage, but the fact that they lost to South Carolina and Shane Beamer inherited a mess. And, you know, at least from a distance, not all that far of a distance, but it seems like he's resurrected this program. What do you see from inside that state?
There's zero doubt that Shane Beamer has significant, serious, real momentum. I mean, he's lost some key players since the end of the year to the portal. Jordan Birch, Marshawn Lloyd, Jaheim Bell. But their high school recruiting is going about as well as it has since Spurrier years, and most of all, they've got the quarterback, Spencer Rattler, coming back. That's just one of the most proven commodities in college football based on how he played against Tennessee and Clemson. I mean, he went from suspect to star in just a couple of weeks. So, yeah, that's something. And of all the things, you know, that could be bothering Dabo, Notre Dame, Florida State, or everything, you know what he hears most about is you lost to South Carolina after beating them seven times in a row, and you lost to them at home and looked really, really bad doing it.
And Gene, I mean, listen, what is your view of the Shane train and more important, the sustainability of it and where it goes from here?
Honestly, it's hard to say. I think the schedule is a smidge easier this year for little factors like they've got Mississippi State at home instead of a game at Arkansas, but they have to play at Texas A&M instead of beating them at home and little things like that. But, I mean, I think he's just one of the best younger coaches in college football right now so far. Now, like I just said, they've lost some key guys in the portal, and so that's going to be interesting to see how he plugs those holes. And, I mean, Google YouTube and my name and Shane Beamer, and we went at it when he hired Dow Loggins, tight ends coach at Arkansas, for his offensive coordinator. I thought that was a shaky hire at best. So we'll see how that works out.
Gene, closing on Clemson, let me get your view. And I know that you know, in the ACC, you can pretty much close your eyes and you're in Charlotte for the ACC championship game. But Florida State is real, and they're, I don't know, they could end up being the pick to win the league. And that I can't even remember the last time. I guess you'd have to go back to Florida State under Jimbo Fisher. So is that the real concern for Dabo Swinney right now, even though he's being attacked within the state, is FSU the real arch enemy?
No doubt about it. And, you know, our mutual friend Mark Schlabaugh of ESPN in his way too early top 25, I think he's got Florida State at four and Clemson not in the top 10. Florida State and Clemson are going to play twice in 2023, Paul, once at Clemson and once in the ACC championship game in a new format where there are no divisions. That's kind of cool. But I will say this on Clemson's behalf. With Florida State having a really good year last year, and they won the Cheez-It Bowl and finished 10-3, Clemson won the game in Tallahassee and won it more handily than the score looks like. The Seminoles scored kind of late, and this year's games at Death Valley with Clemson having a better quarterback and a better offensive coordinator. So I'm not ready to write off Dabo Swinney yet. And I ask you this, Paul, if any school USA had all the money and could make the ideal coach hire for the next 10 years, wouldn't you say it's got to be Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, or Dabo, and there's no clear choice for fourth place?
Well, I think Dabo Swinney certainly has earned that position. And I use the word earn because I think he is on the most slippery slope because I just think he just comes off cranky sometimes when he doesn't need to be. And I don't know what his marketability is. You tell me. I mean, I realize he's making probably $10 to $12 million a year. He's got a gold mine in Clemson. But do you see him ever considering leaving there? Or do you think he's just going to remain talking about the past as opposed to charting a path toward the future?
No, he's not going anywhere else to coach. That's going to be his last coaching job at Clemson. I'd be 93.5% certain of that. And, yeah, he does get a little cranky. I've taken him to task at times from that. Maybe not as much as you, but we'll see. It's going to be an interesting year. And, hey, they have a big opener at Duke, not too far from you know, your home base in Charlotte, Paul, and I could talk to Dabo and see if they could get some press box space for you to go to Wallace Wade Stadium, site of the 1942 Rose Bowl, and see that huge Clemson-Duke opener. What do you think, Paul?
I'm in, Gene, and I say this with all candor, with no real candor, but, well, with a lot of candor. Let me get it right. You talked about me taking shots at him. I mean, it's been a while since I've taken a shot at Dabo Swinney, and Gene, the reason is I just don't think about him anymore. I mean, we talk about Nick Saban and Kirby Smart, Shane Beamer ascending, Brian Kelly, what's going to happen with Jimbo Fisher. But Dabo Swinney just seems like old news. And I know what his record is and I know what he's done, but that's just my response to that. So this is the first time we've mentioned him in a while. And it's because of you.
Okay, just two things. Number one, if they had beaten South Carolina instead of lost to them by 1 point, they'd have been in the playoff. Number two, if the 2024 college football playoff format was adapted to this year, Clemson wouldn't have just been in, Paul. They would have been the number three seed.
Yeah, you're right. But the point is that the playoffs will not begin till 24. And guess what? Clemson lost at home to South Carolina.
No doubt about that. And again, for somebody that makes a living writing sports columns about college football in the Palmetto State, it's fantastic right now.
I hear you. Gene, always great to talk to you. Gene Sapikoff talking about the crank that is Dabo Swinney. We'll take a short break. We are back after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. And Brad is up next in Lexington. Hey, Brad.
Yes, this is Bradley Morgan Holly, son of the 10th Region Hall of Fame, Hoot Holly. I just wanted to talk about UK, how big this Razorback game is tonight, Zach.
Yeah, it's a huge game. And I think it's big for both schools. I mean, both schools are sitting there on the bubble, and I realize there's 4 weeks left, but a game like this would matter.
Absolutely. What do you think about UK getting into the NCAA tournament? What needs to happen to get there, Zach?
Well, I think UK's in a good spot. I mean, they have gone on, you know, since the South Carolina loss, they've really gone on a tear. The Tennessee win, I think, absolutely saved the season. Other than the Kansas loss, I believe they've won every game. You tell me. And I think that's what they had to do. They've got wins on that board that will impress the committee. And, you know, they just have to overcome the losses. I mean, we're not talking about getting into a Final Four here. We're talking about making the field, and certainly I think they're eminently capable of that.
Sure. Based on I don't know if you've seen that fellow that was up in the stands, he got kicked out for telling Cal to go to Texas on that sign.
Right.
But do you think that there would be a better coach that could be in Lexington here come next season or down the road?
Well, I think Cal is a really good coach for Kentucky. Now, I think this season's important, though, because I can't tell you how it's going to end, but if it goes off the skids and let's say they don't get in the tournament, I think that's a huge negative. And even if they get in the tournament and don't go anywhere, I think that's also a negative. This is not a program that's expected to be on the bubble in February. This is a program that's expected to go to the Final Four every year.
Sure, and like I say, Kentucky basketball is no different than Alabama fans in football.
None.
I mean, with Cal and his resume, you know, he's always been a good coach, but here the past few years, man, he's kind of taken a shit, and, you know, UK fans have had enough.
Oh, Family Show just keeps being tested by the populace. Bubba is in North Carolina. Bubba.
Paul, how you doing this afternoon?
Bubba, we are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Did I actually hear I-Man accuse some of your guests or a great portion of your guests being blowhards?
Yes, he did. Blowhards, yes.
It's kind of like a pot calling a kettle black, isn't it?
I think that would be an apt description of, you know, the prince of bloviation, I-Man from Montgomery.
Yeah, and also he's basically just flat-out accused you of being a Nick Saban lover.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any gray area there. I mean, I won't go any deeper than you said, but I mean, I don't know what else he could have accused me of. He accused me of living with Nick Saban. He accused me of worshiping at the altar of Nick Saban. And
well, I wonder how many times a day the name Nick Saban parts his lips, or Jim from Tuscaloosa, because that's the only subject matter I've ever heard him have to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder when he's in your upstairs in your attic checking your heating and air, if he's not just doing some Nick Saban chant.
Hey, I do have one question for you.
Yeah.
I think I heard you made the comment maybe yesterday about it really didn't matter who the coordinators were at Alabama. And I thought about that a little bit. And honestly, Nick wouldn't have got rid of the ones he had if it didn't matter. I mean, you know,
yeah,
I just kind of wonder where you were coming from with that
true.
Comment.
I mean, I think it matters to a point. It's ultimately his system, though. And that's the important thing.
Yeah, I understand.
Remember.
Somebody's going to have to run his system, but I think it greatly matters. And I think that they've suffered because of the talent on his coaching staff, or lack of.
But Bubba,
that's just my opinion.
I want to make sure you understand. I agree with you. I thought both of those guys should have been gone. I made that pretty clear. But it also, every coordinator is only as good as what he has on the field, and he has to get them the best available plays. And I don't think what happens with coordinators is they usually take the heat away from the head coach.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. But you got to understand, there's no school out there puts any better talent on the football field yearly.
No.
And I just think they've underachieved with the coaching staff they've had under Nick.
Well, I think there's more to it. I think they've made a couple of mistakes in evaluation. And some players have come and gone, and but one thing that you have to remember about Alabama, you always hear, well, they didn't win the national championship because their wide receivers got hurt. But even those two wide receivers who got hurt couldn't have gotten in the game the previous couple of years because of the wide receivers that Alabama had. I mean, there's a big drop off between Ruggs and Judy and Waddle and Devontae Smith to even Mechie and Williamson and what they had last year. So, I mean, Alabama is still one of the two or three best programs in the country, but they are not as elite as they were back then. And maybe they will be again with this recruiting class. I mean, that takes but 42% of all of recruiting classes are now gone in a couple of years. So you have to take the good with the bad. Hey, thank you so much for the call. I do appreciate it. Let's move along. And check out Jerry in Alabama. Hello, Jerry.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum.
Hey there, buddy.
I was just calling. I was calling to see if you ever got those pictures.
Jerry, they came in the mail today. I can't thank you enough. I'm so glad you called.
Great.
You sent me a couple of different ones. I love the one from the Liberty Bowl. The ones about Saban and Mike Shule, Brian and Mike Shule was hilarious. What was the other one?
But it's amazing how much they look like.
They looked identical. They sure did.
one more thing I want to talk a little bit about, and then I'll hang up.
Thank you.
I'm Ann from Montgomery. You know, Saban is on his mind so much. It made me think of and how he hates Saban. He's talking to you about how the biggest part of your conversations all the time were about Saban. Well, when he calls in, probably 9% of his conversation is his hatred for Saban in Alabama. And he got me to thinking about, I know you've seen some of these old shows that used to come on television sometime about Africa and all, and how they'd have witch doctors over there.
Oh, sure.
And, sometime when a witch doctor didn't like somebody, he'd make a figure of them, and he'd stick him with needles. Well, I kind of believe Saban heard something about how I-Man hated him. I believe he got Miss Terry to make a figure of I-Man. I think every now and then he'll stick a needle in over I-Man, kind of get him stirred up. What do you think about that?
Jerry, it's almost as if I-Man needs an exorcism.
Yeah, okay. That's
to
exactly
get the,
right.
To get
yeah.
the Saban yeah. demons out of his soul.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, they still do exorcisms?
He tickled me, though, about his hatred for him and never mentions Auburn.
Even think he's an Auburn fan. He's an Auburn fan when they win. Well, that hasn't happened lately.
Well, look, Mr. Feinbaum, I'm glad you enjoyed those pictures and enjoy talking to you. You have
Jerry,
a great day.
Jerry, I can't thank you enough. I literally got them about 2 hours ago, and I deeply appreciate it. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back on a Tuesday afternoon, and Jason is calling next. Good afternoon, Jason.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there. How are you?
I'm good. I called you a few days ago. Remember I had a stroke?
Yes, I do remember that call.
Well, I forgot. I didn't tell you that I'm also a Navy veteran. Thank God. I'm in physical therapy. I will walk again, Paul.
Well, first of all, I'm really glad to hear that. How long did you serve, Jason?
10 years.
Wow, that's quite a tour. Well, tell us this. Where are you in your recovery?
I'm doing physical therapy, Paul.
Okay.
At home, physical therapy.
Right. Well, listen.
So I was lucky. I could still move my right side. I was just paralyzed on my left side.
Okay.
And I got all my feet. They did not think I was going to wake up, but I did. I was bleeding in my brain, so I had to go and take a piece of my skull out.
Oh, my.
To relieve the pressure.
Well, Jason, first of all, I'm glad to hear the encouraging news, though. I know that this cannot be easy. I know that sounds ridiculous to say, but it seems like you've overcome a great deal.
Yes, Paul. Well, God on my side, I'm going to walk again, though. I promise you that.
Well, Jason, let me assure you, everyone here is thinking of you and praying for your recovery, and you stay in touch with us.
Yes, sir, I will.
Okay, you be well.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, sure, Jason.
I called Kevin Steele High.
Are you pleased with that, Jason?
I'm Auburn fan, Paul. I was going to ask you, how do you think Auburn's offensive coordinator is going to be?
I feel good about Auburn. Jason, I don't know if you heard Brandon Marcello here earlier. He was our first guest, and he felt like Auburn, with the portal, with the coaching staff, with recruiting, he said they are two to three years away from making a run at the SEC West, which is the most encouraging. But I don't doubt that with Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze understands the terrain, and I feel like that program is in good shape. Hey, you take care of yourself, Jason, and thank you so much for calling us. So we'll talk again very soon. Ronnie is in Ohio. Hello, Ronnie.
Hello, Paul. My question to you, my friend, is about Alabama and Georgia.
Okay.
They both lost their senior quarterbacks. Blah, blah, blah. Who is going to replace them? Is it going to be by transfers or people, you know, in the system? If you know about that. And, you know, thank you for always taking my call. And, you know, I'll get off here and let you explain it to me.
Thank you. Thank you, Ronnie. Yeah, the Georgia situation is a little easier to understand. I mean, there are two or three quarterbacks in Georgia's room that most people believe are capable of taking over immediately. And quite frankly, not meant as a shot at Stetson Bennett, because – everyone knows what he did, but there's a sense that they could have taken over earlier too, and perhaps had the same result that the Dogs did. That's open for debate. Alabama's is a little different. You got Milroe, who very few people think will be the starter. You got Ty Simpson, who was a five-star, who played sparingly, a couple of other players coming in. And there is still some debate about whether Alabama will, in the next portal window, look for a quarterback. Some of that could depend on Tommy Reese, the new coordinator, who picked up probably the best quarterback in the portal last year, Sam Hartman from Wake Forest, and had to leave him behind at Notre Dame. Hey, thanks for the call. Ken is up next. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I got a couple questions for you, Paul. But first, let me say, with all candor, that was a great interview you did with Gene. I love the stab you made at Dabo Swinney. I got to tell you.
In talking to Gene, I thought Dabo had won the national championship last year.
Well, that's what I felt. I said, man, this guy loves Dabo Swinney. I tell you that.
When do you start grading people on the 8-year curve? Everyone knows what Dabo. We know what Dabo did. What's he going to do in the future? Because losing to his in-state rival at home was pretty humiliating.
Yeah, you're right, Paul. But that was a great interview. You had me laughing the whole time.
Well, thank you.
I love your show. But here's the thing, Paul. Here's my question to you. I'd like to go back to 1983.
Okay, I can do that.
You remember Antonio Langham?
I sure do.
Now, Paul, you was the first one to break that story.
Yes, I was.
And let me ask you, with all sincerity, Paul.
Okay.
Did you have to have bodyguards right after that?
Yeah, and by the way, Ken, the story was Antonio Langham was a great player for Alabama. Won the SEC championship game for Alabama with an interception in 92.
Yes, I remember.
And they won the national championship. And it wasn't like I went looking for this story. Here's what happened. It's been 30 years, so I'll try to remember it as best I can, but somebody called us up I think they called us up or they came to us. I really don't remember which one it was, and said they had intercepted some communication between the SEC office and Alabama. It was the guy was a clerk at a law firm, and instead of just notifying his bosses that he was in possession of very hot information that was likely going to cost Alabama dearly, he brought it to us.
And it did.
he came to us and went on. I really don't remember exactly whether he called us at first, or I think he called us and then he brought it to us. He ended up getting fired, which I felt terribly about, but it wasn't my responsibility. And Alabama went on, now Alabama ended up going on 3-year probation and sanctions.
That's
which
correct.
They got 1 year back. But initially we were blamed for that. Like we had put Alabama in harm's way.
Well, Paul, you did put it out there. You were the first one to put it out there.
True. I plead guilty to that.
But I tell you what, Paul, that is why you're the sportscaster and the writer and the person you are today. You know how to get those stories.
Well, Ken, I would say if I could critique myself, I probably was a little bit better at it then than I am now, because I was doing it more often. If we brought out some of the stories that we pick up here, they would shut the program down. Yeah. We're a little more judicious than we used to be.
I want to tell you, tell our man, please take some time off. We are just tired of hearing it. Take time off.
Ken, I've got a GoFundMe account right now up.
And, well, I'm going to contribute.
Yeah, we're going. I-Man's in Prattville, Alabama, so he's not far from the beach. I don't know what the weather is at the Gulf right now, but we're going to give him an all-expense-paid tour to Gulf Shores, get him on the Redneck Riviera. We'll send him for a big time at the Florabama. And can you imagine I Man walking into the Florabama? He wouldn't last 5 minutes in there, would he?
Are you kidding me?
Can you imagine?
He better go somewhere. He better not go to Florabama.
You know, you got all those things on the wall at the Florabama. If I Man walked in there, he would be on the wall.
Oh, yeah. You got that right. You got that right.
And I'd like to say, Ken,
anyway,
thanks so much for
–
hey, I appreciate the call. I forgot all about that Langham deal. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So our Twitter question of the day involves Twitter.
Of course.
Who's the most impressive person who follows you on Twitter, Randy? Mine would be I-Man. Who's yours? And you cannot say Nick Saban, because he's not on Twitter, at least not that we're aware of. Let's check in with Ron, who is in Virginia. Hey, Ron.
Paul, longtime caller, blessed to be on your show.
Well, thank you.
Paul, I want to talk about Dabo Swinney, and a lot of that's been going on today.
Okay.
Is Dabo Swinney, I'm not going to take from him, Paul. He's a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
But if you remember in 2021, when he said Ohio State should be ranked 10 in the country, he opens his mouth, and I've heard you say this before, and Ohio State beat them 49-28. I think he's a great coach, but I think he needs to be careful what he says to the public. He needs to regroup and do his job. Now, Paul, after this, I need your permission. I've seen a caller said something about a joke.
Right.
I have three jokes. Number one joke is a Randy joke.
You got a Randy joke?
Number one is a Randy joke. Okay. Number two and three is a Paul Feinbaum joke. You have to pick. Randy.
Which I want to hear the Randy joke.
Sure.
You do. It's borderline.
Well.
I mean, it's okay, but it's borderline.
Well, go for it.
Okay. This man is walking on the beach.
Okay.
And he looks to his right. This is the Randy joke now. You gave me permission.
I hear you.
He looks to the right, and he sees a man, I don't know, 100 yards away, but a bottle washes up. And the guy picks the bottle up and rubs it, and a genie comes out.
Okay.
The man says, or the genie says, "You are my master. I shall grant you one wish."
Okay.
Okay, the man says, "Give me $1,000,000." So he says, "You are my master, I shall grant your wish." And it was 1 million ducks that was flying around. The guy on the beach looked to the guy to his right that he'd seen before. He says, "That genie is hard of hearing." You know what the guy says? "Tell me about it." He gives me a 10-inch bick.
I like that joke.
Now tell Randy that's a 1 through 10.
What do you think, Randy?
Liked it.
Randy, it gives you a 10 for the 10-inch Bic.
I had to ask the question.
I took my life from my hands when I said that.
Yeah, I knew. You know, Randy would love that. And the thing of it is the finish off on this, I know you're busy. The SEC, I'm excited because you and I go back a few months on Hugh Freeze. Because I man said he doesn't want us to talk about Nick Saban. So I'm going to talk about Hugh Freeze. You and I went back a long time ago, and you and I kind of argued, not so much, but you questioned that Hugh Freeze, that Auburn would hire this man. And you know what I told you, and you remember this, that Hugh Freeze will hand them the cup of coffee, and he's a good old boy, and he's the perfect fit for Auburn. God bless you and Randy, and thank you for my joke. Have a great day,
Ron,
sir.
Best joke I've heard today.
No kidding.
Any joke about Randy is a good joke. Zim is around the corner.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.